Extraordinary words, the last few words that you just heard. Now, I just want to do a little true or false game with you this evening, and I'm going to tell you something and ask you whether you think it's true or false, okay? Is it possible for human beings to have blue skin? Those who think it is, raise your hand. Those who think it isn't, raise your hand. That's typical church, isn't it? Everybody abstains in churches. Do that again for me, because I only had about five people voting. You need time to think about it. All those who think it is possible for a human being to have blue skin, put your hand up. All those who think it isn't, put your hand up. I think the isn'ts just about have it. Now, I thought they didn't exist. I thought they were all part of fiction, really. The Smurfs, those aliens in the film Avatar, or Mystique in the X-Men series. They're all fictional, aren't they? But funnily enough, there have been real people with blue skin. There was a family in Kentucky. So when you go home, Google it, and you can find out the details of a particular blood disorder that gets corrected these days. But 200 years ago, there was a whole family with blue skin. We have a saying that the truth is stranger than fiction. As far as we know, Lord Byron was the first person to actually put those words on paper way back in 1823. And at the end of that century, Mark Twain elaborated with these words, "Truth is stranger than fiction. It has to be. Fiction has to be possible, and truth doesn't." Now that's interesting, isn't it? To the modern mind, the Christmas story has all the trappings of fiction, a virgin mother, a last-minute journey to Bethlehem, visions of angels, a baby born in a cattle-feeding trough, a star that was close enough to the ground to associate it with Bethlehem, yet not one that anyone in nearby Jerusalem seemed to have noticed. Surely it cannot be a true story. But that's the funny thing. History has so many unlikely stories. In 1898, Robert Morgan published a novel entitled The Wreck of the Titan. And the plot of this novel followed a down-on-his-luck sailor, John Rowland, working as a deckhand on a ship called the Titan, which hit an iceberg in the North Atlantic and sank. 14 years later, when the Titanic actually did sink, he was heralded as a clairvoyant. And when asked about that, he just said, he knew about ships and sailing. Extraordinary coincidence. Perhaps the reason why truth is stranger than fiction is because writers of fiction try to make their stories plausible. They try to avoid any hint of wackiness. Even those convoluted Sherlock Holmes stories had a solution which could be deduced from the available evidence that you'd already read. It's just that the reader was bombarded with so many facts and didn't know which ones to discount as insignificant. So here we have a bunch of shepherds, not known for their learning and generally looked down on by the upper classes. And so they see angels making a grand claim that the long-awaited Messiah has been born. And to prove it beyond reasonable doubt, they're told that they will find a cattle-feeding trough in Bethlehem with a baby in it. And so they rush to Bethlehem, and sure enough, they find the baby. Such an experience is bound to change your life. People will tell you you're nuts, that angels aren't real, but you know what you saw. There's an old story of a Christian missionary in North Africa, a man called Frederick Nolan, who was being pursued by Saracens during a time of Muslim expansion in North Africa. And running away, he found a cave. And as soon as he'd gone inside the cave to hide, suddenly a spider started spinning a web across the entrance of the cave. When the Saracens passed the entrance, they saw the spider's web and thought, well, he can't be in there. And so they carried on looking for him. Later, he wrote the words, "Where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. Where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web." And so followers of Jesus have always come in all shapes and sizes. They're not all great intellectuals with compelling arguments at the ready. but they are people who are interested in the truth. And they have decided that the whole story of Jesus resonates with them at a very profound level, and they have decided to follow him. For my part, if you're wondering, I'm quite happy to believe the Christmas story. If God really did decide to come into the world as a human being, you kind of expect that coming to be a little different to the norm. If Jesus really was God in human flesh, then the compelling teaching, all those miracles, the walking on water, the antagonism of the corrupt rulers, and ultimately the resurrection from death, quite plausible, really. And if God really is still involved in this world, perhaps you shouldn't be too surprised if your own story takes a strange turn every so often. Take this one, for example. Back in the early 1970s, a newly ordained pastor was posted to Brooklyn. The priority that he was given was to actually redecorate the church, and he needed to do that before Christmas. It was in a really rundown state, and a lot of that work he took on himself, some plastering work and all sorts of bits and pieces, trying to make it decent looking in time for Christmas. But then, having done most of the work, on the 19th of December that year, it rained solidly for 3 days. And annoyingly, a block of plaster fell from the wall at the front, leaving an unsightly mess for the congregation to look at. The pastor cleared up the mess and then thought he would try and cover it with something. And so across the road was a market where he found a very ornate tablecloth, and he bought it for $20. He headed back to the church with it. It was starting to snow, and he saw an older woman trying in vain to catch her bus. She missed it, so he advised her to shelter in the church while she waited for the next one. And while she sat there, he started to hang the cloth. The next thing he knew, the woman was at his side. "That looks like a cloth that I made 35 years ago in Austria," she said. "The Nazis came. My husband and I fled, but we were separated and never saw each other again." The pastor offered to return the cloth to her, but she insisted that the church keep it. And in exchange, he decided to drive her home, as she lived some distance away. A few days later, a packed church gathered on Christmas Eve, and the worship was inspiring. But at the end, while the congregants were drinking their mulled wine and eating their mince pies, there was one man who remained sitting, staring to the front of the church. The young pastor sat beside him, offering some kind of help, and the man recounted the exact same story the pastor had heard 3 days earlier. That night, the pastor drove him to the woman's house, and the most extraordinary reunion took place. What are the chances? Truth is often stranger than fiction. And the Christmas story may sound implausible, but perhaps it's for us to open our minds and give that truth another chance. Perhaps like the shepherds and later on the wise men, you should seek out and take a closer look at this babe of Bethlehem, this carpenter of Nazareth, this Galilean rabbi, this rejected Messiah who overcame death, this person who chose service and sacrifice over greed and accumulation. Or perhaps you should stick with your own truth. The choice is yours, but this Christmas, I invite you to come and take a closer look.